And then at 20, 21 years old, I go to work for a fishing fleet out of Ponce Inlet, Florida. Man had had three boats, 50-footer, 60-footer, 70-footer. I was mate on the 50-footer. And they carried out people for hire every day. 70-footer would carry about 70 people out. And within 3 months, he moves me from the mate on the smaller boat, the first mate on the bigger boat with five mates working under me because of my integrity, my faithfulness, my loyalty. I was the first one there, the last one to leave, had the cleanest vessel. I just loved. I was performing for the acceptance and love of this boat owner. And he never had any sons. And see, in the fishing industry, no one will teach you how to fish. In the fishing industry, it is a trade that is passed down from father to son, father to son. Because if they're not your son, they're not going to teach you your trade, because you will take all of their hot fishing spots, you leave them, and you go captain your own boat and get your own boat, and you literally take all of their business away from them. And so it is only passed down from father to son. And if you tried to come forth into the fishing industry and learn that in any other way, it is going to be a rough, rough road for you. Because you're going to have to do it all yourself. And this guy never had a son, and he said, "Jack, I mean, I've been working for him about 6 months. You're the best mate in 40 years I've ever had." He said, "I don't have any family. I've got my wife. I don't have any family. I've got no one to give an inheritance to." He said, "I'm going to take you," and he said, "if you'll give me your life, if you'll just submit your life to me and let me train you, if you'll stick with me and not leave me, because the fishing boats, mates leave every 6 months. He said, "I'll teach you the way for the sea. I'll teach you how to captain this boat. I'll teach you how to find the fish. I'll teach you the maintenance of boats. I'll spend my life and I'll pour everything I know into you." And this guy was one of the finest men I've ever met. Wasn't a Christian at that time. Had alcohol problems, but he never one time spoke down to me. He never criticized me. He never devalued me. He never gave me the look. I mean, he just showed me. He'd stand over me behind the wheel with his hand upon my shoulder, and he'd just affirm me everything I did right. He'd, "No, turn it this way." He'd show me how to anchor the boat, how to find the fish, how to run the boat in. Been running the boat in that way about a year, and he said, "Now you're going to take it across the bar at the inlet, and you're going to bring it into the dock, and you're going to dock this thing." "I can't do this. I can't do this." And man, I was terrified. I was shaking as he's right there and father with me. Boy, when your father believes you can do anything, you'll sure give it a try. And he's right there, and he leads me in that 70-footer, and he shows me how the current's going to cause the drift as we try to pull it into the slip at the dock. And he showed me how to pull it in, and those two turbocharged V12s and diesel engines, and pull it around and catch the drift, and then throw it in reverse, and pull it right back in the slip before the current takes you beyond the slip you got to pull in, and I take out a piling. And he didn't even get upset. $600. He said, "I'll cover that. Pull it out." "No, I can't do it, Captain Klein. You do it. Take it. Pull it in there." And he said, "I'm not going to do it." I mean, 70 people looking up at me, you know, up in the wheelhouse and wondering what is going on. And he made me just take over. He just stood there. "If we're going to get out of this situation, it's you." And we pulled it on out there, and he showed me how to pull it back around. And I did it again, and I pulled it in. He said, "I knew you could do it. I believed in it." 2,500 days plus at sea. I never knocked down another piling. I never had a boating accident, never caused any damage. He believed in me. He taught me. I inherited that. He says, "In another year," he says, "I'm ready to get off this boat. I've had enough of beating my head to death every day out here at sea. I'll turn the whole thing over to you. We'll work out a deal. This whole business, everything will be yours. It's your inheritance. Just stay with me another year, Jack." And I gave him a year. I've never met a man like anybody can submit to this guy. Couldn't you submit to a man like that, that pays the sacrifice, lays his life down? Man, it's easy to have a spirit of submission towards him. That year his wife caught cancer, and all the finances and a lot of their savings were gone, and the year came around, and he says, "Just get your captain's license, Jack." I went out of one of the highest scored tests and got a captain's license, able to operate vessels up to 150 foot in length because he equipped me, trained me, scored higher than anybody had ever scored on the test, missed one question out of 150, and it just, he was so proud. And the time's here now, the time's now. Turn the boat over to me, turn it over to me, because see, there's a special thing about captain in the waterfront. When you're the captain, I mean, you walk into the waterfront bars, you're the man. And when you're captain of the nicest boat in the fleet, which he had, you're the man. And all the captains sit over on that other side of the bar, and they all drink and party together. And all the mates all the laybacks and the duds that don't have any right to any place of esteem, they're on the other side, and they don't mix. And all I wanted was the position, the power, the possessions. I wanted that place. I'd earned it. And he promised me, in 1 year, I get the certificate. I'm licensed. It's mine. It wasn't about money. It was about position. It was about power. He said, just give me another year. I've got to get my wife through this crisis and I need the finances. Just give me another year. You promised me. You do not know if you have a spirit of submission until you disagree with the authority in your life. You have no idea what your inheritance is going to be in the future until you disagree with the people God has put over you in your life. And because I couldn't have that position, I had the certificate, but it didn't take me to the other side of the bar until I was behind the wheel. That fleet was worth $1 million. Another guy knew I'd just got my captain's license. He knew how well I'd been trained. Another guy that didn't care anything about me. All he wanted was somebody that had the training that I had. He came over and offered me a job. And I took it just like that. Also, I could have the position in the bar. And I gave up $1 million inheritance so I could have an extra $15,000 a year and I could be the man. I gave up the most beautiful boat in the fleet for one with a 1944 engine block in it. Piece of junk. But at least now I can sit on the other side of the bar. And all over the body of Christ today, people sacrifice their inheritance because of the fault or weaknesses that they see in leaders, or because they disagree with the decision the leader makes. And they run after the Father's love and they wonder why they cannot get a revelation of it. Because God deals with you as sons. And for this thing to break through our life and the oppression to be broken off of our life, we must have a spirit of submission. And you will not know if you have a spirit of submission towards God until you have a spirit of submission towards someone here on the earth. How can you love God in whom you cannot see until you can love man whom you can see? How can you have a spirit of sonship towards God whom you cannot see until you have a spirit of sonship towards someone on this earth? Whose son are you? Whose daughter are you? When we reject sonship, we reject our inheritance. When we reject a spirit of submission, we reject the fullness of our inheritance, though God will give it to you now. But in a few years, that inheritance will be gone. And you found yourself surrounded by people who want to control and manipulate you and use you to get what they need in their counterfeit affections. And it's rampant across the body. And when you put a demand on that relationship, you bring control, manipulation into that relationship. I'm not saying in this that we're to come under the spiritual abuse that was there in some of the discipleship movement in the 1970s. I'm not saying that's where we're going. But we threw the baby out with the bathwater because of the spiritual abuses that were there. There's a principle of sonship and submission that will set you free for greater inheritance. And there is men and women of integrity, men and women of gentleness, compassion, and mercy that want to impart to you their very lives, but every one of them has faults and weaknesses. And every one of us has not a monopoly on this thing. We're not 100% accurate until He who is perfect comes. But we take the fault, we take the weakness, we take the disagreement in discerning the Word of God, and we reject sonship, and we go from place to place to place to place. And we wonder why we don't get our inheritance. We wonder why the prophetic word doesn't occur. But there's something more important than all of that. the baptism of the Father's love. The place of feeling like we have a home. And I hate to leave you hanging. I went an extra 15 minutes. There's so much more we want to go with this. It's probably going to take 2 days to go here, and I can't wind it up with what the answer is, so you have to come back. What I would like to do, though, some people's hearts are really stirring right now. Some people's hearts are even at a point they're really wanting to weep because they're looking back through a lifetime and they're saying, oh God, I've given away the $1 million. Let me finish that story. He stopped speaking to me. He wouldn't even acknowledge that I was in his presence. He wouldn't even hold a conversation with me. It so wounded and broke his heart. But he was a man that took me from being a man that I could not even ever believe that I could be anything, and I'd never done anything right in my life. And Captain Klein believed in me. And when my first son was born, I named my first son Micah Klein Frost. Because I've never forgotten a man believed in me. I'd never had that happen before. I sent him the birth announcement and he called me. Zach, forgive me. I was so hurt. Thank you for naming your son after me. I never was able to have children. God restored our relationship. After I was born again, he gave his heart to the Lord, and his wife, before she died of cancer, gave her heart to the Lord. I was able to lead both of them. He's one of my closest friends today. He's in his 70s. We talk and we share. He sold his fleet, and it's almost all his money's gone to the cancer and the 8-9 year cancer battle his wife had. But there's something more important than me getting that money and that inheritance. It's the relationship Captain Klein and I share. I was on the phone with him Friday night as another son he had. He raised up 2 sons in his whole lifetime, Dix and me. Dix was my age. We went to high school together. Captain Klein called weeping. Dix left him too, same way, both of us. Neither of us could handle a father. Neither of us had the spirit of sonship, though for 2 years I thought I had it. He called Clapton Friday night weeping with the news that Dix was lost at sea Tuesday. Out in the Gulf. Fell off his boat in the middle of the night, and the boat on autopilot and the crew asleep, and they lost him at sea and they never found him. 3-day search, the Coast Guard. I'm the only son he has left. And all he does, he says, everywhere I go, I brag on you. Everywhere I go, I tell him about that. The top fisherman in the Carolinas now taking the love of God everywhere to the nations. Not a month goes by, he doesn't send a check hardly to the ministry. Don't do it for that. But because of the spirit of sonship, and I go back and repenting to him for leaving him and him repenting to me, the intimacy we've had. The inheritance doesn't mean anything. 2 years, the first 2 years, Captain Klein and I didn't value the relationship. I valued the inheritance. It was proved by me leaving him. Now I just value the relationship. I don't care about the inheritance. The spiritual fathers God has put in your life. Do you put a demand on relationship by valuing what they can do for you to get you promoted in ministry, to make you look good, to get your pats on the back? Or do you value the relationship so much you see the faults and weaknesses? How can I get under that man and woman of God and make them so successful? John Arnott and a number of other apostles across the nation have wondered, how in the world have you put together 60 team members of the quality that you have? You've never lost a one. You've never lost a staff member. How have you put together such a team that's traveling to the nations? We've never seen a team as awesome that's come into TACF as your team that comes. Not a perfect team. It's a flow down. I learned the principle of sonship And so part of the inheritance is spiritual sons and daughters, people with much greater education than I, much greater experience in ministry than I, much more knowledgeable, much more ability to handle the word, many much more gifted and anointed than I. They all got more education than I got. And the ministry's gone forth to the nations. It's my inheritance. Psalm 2:8. For 21 years I've cried out, Psalm 2:8. I ask of you, Lord God. I asked of you, God, the nations is my inheritance, but let it begin in my family. You don't receive your inheritance without the spirit of sonship. And Father, we just ask you to just take us. Take us into a deeper realm of repentance, deeper realm of revelation, understanding and knowledge. Just come to us, Father, and begin to reveal the hidden issues of our heart, that your love is exploding inside of us, just crying out to break out into the nations, to break out of us into our families, into our marriages. And just deal with our hearts with goodness, with tenderness, with repentance. And Father, most of us in this room have felt like orphans, and we thought it was all about what others did to us. We thought it was all about what our own mothers and fathers weren't able to give us. But we've heard today that the core issue is really about us. Do we have a spirit of sonship? And Father, we want that broken. We don't want to begin the ministry time until we go through this whole thing in Wednesday. We know you can come to each person right where we're at. And just build an altar. Build an altar right where you're at. So much more to say in this area. I don't want to do a ministry time specifically here, but we're going to put in some soaking thing. I'm going to put in, just a moment, we're going to put in the video, the Father's love letter. There's going to be music playing. There's going to be words on the screen. And if you can give a few more minutes to maybe just let God minister to your heart right where you're at with the tenderness that's here, the spirit of repentance that's here. Sometimes it's more comfortable for me to be on the floor. You might want to find a place up the altars or find a place up front here somewhere. Maybe it's at your seat. What childlike posture and position can you take as we begin just let the word begin to minister to us? People will be free to leave, but we ask that there be no talking until you're outside the sanctuary, because we're just going to let the Spirit of God just release things here. Let Him come and speak to you. And so, Father, come. Supernaturally impart this Spirit of sonship. Supernaturally release it upon people's lives right now. Many hearts are ready right now. They don't have to wait till Wednesday. Just come. Orphan spirit, you don't have a right to this room right now. Father's home. Daddy's home. So we break the power of the orphan spirit off of them and release the spirit of adoption flowing through them right now. In Jesus' name.